Up your bulletins or your red hymnals and turn to the front to page 235. You'll see the affirmation of baptism, okay? So up to the front, not hymn number 235, but to the front, the small numbers, page numbers at the bottom, 235. And for the many of us, these words are going to sound familiar, okay? And you're going to use these words a little bit later on. That's why you can find them in your bulletin, too. Right before we proclaim our faith together with the creed, we have these words. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? And do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? And with God's help, we proclaim, yes, I renounce them. Right? Yes, I renounce them. Say it with me. I renounce them. Thank you. These are important words. These are important words because the evil, the devil, and all these forces that defy, rebel against, and draw us away from God, they are real. And they are strong. And they live amongst us today. And I believe we are called to call them out like Jesus in that synagogue, calls it out. That evil spirit that held that man hostage and kept him, because if this was an unclean spirit, he would not have been allowed to be in that synagogue. And Jesus calls it out. And the people there are going, whoa, there's some authority here that we haven't experienced before. And I think these words remind us that we are called to do the same, to call it out, to renounce, to say, that's not okay. I stand against those evils and those demons that keep us from God, that deny God, rebel against God, and the sin that draws me away from God. I renounce them. Because all of these forces are real. Those forces that say in our world that some people are not as important as others. We must renounce that. It's evil. It's not of God. And those forces that say, you know, I'm more valuable than some of you. That's not of God. And we must renounce those evils, those unclean spirits that are real and are in or amongst us and around us. And it calls for us to stand together to renounce these. And more than just words, but our actions. Because if you're like me, it's easy for me when I'm with all of you here in this place to stand together and say, I renounce them, and I mean it. But what does it look like for me to live that beyond the walls of this place and beyond my words? We must renounce these forces that are so real in this world. These forces that somehow we turn a blind eye to. And I am guilty. And so we need each other to be together as one, to renounce these evil forces. And there was a man that did this in a remarkable way. And his name can be pronounced a variety of different ways. So please forgive me the way I pronounce it. Elie Wiesel was a writer, an activist, a poet, a survivor. Elie, when he was 15, was taken from his home and with his family and moved into a ghetto, and then onto cattle cars and deported to Auschwitz and Buchenwald. Death camps, as he calls them. And he remembers that this was the beginning of the kingdom of night. And he wrote of that. And when Elie was in the concentration camps, his sister, his younger sister, and his mother died in the concentration camp. And he watched his father die in the concentration camp. He and his two older sisters survived. And he went on to speak and to give voice so that we won't forget. He went on to write the injustices and to call out the injustices of that time and today. And he did this with a great passion and a great strength. And in 1986, Elie Wiesel received the Nobel Peace Prize. And instead of me trying to, give you what I hear Elie saying in these words, I thought it would be more important for you to hear his words as he wrote them, as he, in his acceptance speech to the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986, Elie writes, "Do I have the right to represent the multitudes who have perished? Do I have the right to accept this great honor on their behalf? I do not. No one may speak for the dead. No one may interpret their mutilated dreams and visions. And yet, I sense their presence. I always do. And at this moment, more than ever, the presence of my parents, that of my little sister, the presence of my teachers, my friends, and my companions. This honor belongs to all the survivors and their children, and through us to the Jewish people with whose destiny I have always identified. I remember it happened yesterday or eternities ago. A young Jewish boy discovered the kingdom of night. I remember his bewilderment. I remember his anguish. It all happened so fast. The ghetto, the deportation, the sealed cattle car, the fiery altar upon which the history of our people and the future of mankind were meant to be sacrificed. I remember he asked his father, 'Can this be true? This is the 20th century, not the Middle Ages. Who would allow such crimes to be committed? How would the world remain silent?' And now the boy is turning to me. 'Tell me,' he asks, 'what have you done with my future? What have you done with your life?' And I tell him that I have tried. That I have tried to keep memory alive. That I have tried to fight those who would forget. Because if we forget, we are guilty. We are accomplices. And then I explain to him how naive we were, that the world did not know, or excuse me, how naive we were, that the world did know and remained silent. And that is why I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, not the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere. When human lives are endangered, when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Wherever men or women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, that place must, at that moment, become the center of the universe. He continues, there is so much injustice and suffering crying out for our attention. Victims of hunger, of racism and political persecution. In Chile, for instance, or in Ethiopia, writers and poets, prisoners in so many lands governed by the left and by the right. Human rights are being violated on every continent. More people are oppressed than free. How can one not be sensitive to their plight? Human suffering anywhere concerns men and women everywhere. That applies also to the Palestinians, to whose plight I am sensitive, but whose methods I deplore when they lead to violence. Violence is not the answer. Terrorism is the most dangerous of answers. They are frustrated. That is understandable. Something must be done. The refugees and their misery, the children and their fears, the uprooted and their hopelessness, something must be done about their situation. And he continues, but I have faith. Faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even in his creation. Without it, no action would be possible. And action is the only remedy to indifference, the most insidious danger of all. Isn't this the meaning of Alfred Nobel's legacy? Wasn't his fear of war a shield against war? There is so much to be done. There is so much that can be done. One person, a Raoul Wallenberg, an Albert Schweitzer, and a Martin Luther King Jr., one person of integrity can make a difference of life and death. As long as one dissident is in prison, our freedom will not be true. As long as one child is hungry, our lives will be filled with anguish and shame. What all these victims need above all is to know that they are not alone. That we are not forgetting them. That when their voices are stifled, we shall lend them ours. That while their freedom depends on ours, the quality of our freedom depends on theirs. This is what I say to the young Jewish boy, wondering what I have done with his years. It is in his name that I speak to you and that I express to you my deepest gratitude. No one is capable of gratitude as one who has emerged from the kingdom of night. We know that every moment is a moment of grace, every hour an offering. Not to share them would mean to betray them. Our lives no longer belong to us alone. They belong to all those who need us desperately. Sisters and brothers in Christ, do we renounce these evils? Do we renounce these forces that deny, rebel, and draw us away from God? These forces that Eli writes of and experienced himself are still here today. And our words are just the beginning. It demands more than just our words. It demands that we live lives that reflect the one that calls out these spirits and has power over them. Do we renounce these evils, these unclean spirits, these forces, this sin? And I pray, sisters and brothers in Christ, together we will respond with the help of God, I renounce them. Amen.